I can't believe we're going to be talking about this for the next hour.
I hope everyone's ready for yet another extended episode I feel like this is going to go on forever.
We've been texting about it all day, but in very vague terms.
Because I keep saying, like, we can't talk about it.
I know. We have to wait.
I think we disagree.
Which I can't believe.
I think we really disagree. Well, let's get into it and find out.
All right. Hi, Julia Bezzavalli.
Hello, Patrick Hines.
Sam, we just hit 100,000 subscribers on YouTube.
Which means you'll hear about it in a month because we're pretty
ahead.
Yeah,
that's right. That's true.
But in our world, it was kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
We just got it like a day or two ago.
Apparently, we get a plaque or something from YouTube.
No.
For hitting 100K. We get like
really?
A silver plaque or something.
Oh.
Go find us on YouTube. It's True Crime Obsessed Podcast. We are so fun to watch. There's so many videos there. Full episodes as YouTube videos. Free.
Yeah.
Go watch them.
Like this one.
What's the other thing?
The Discord.
Okay, great. Tell them about it.
We have a Discord channel and we have a Discord place, and in that place there are a lot of other channels where you can talk about like the episodes. You can like leave questions for AMAs that we'll get to. You can also post about like music or your family or your pets. It's just a really fun time. I always jump in there on recording days and be like, this is what we're recording today.
Oh my God, are people excited?
Yeah, people are very
excited. Do they want this?
Yes.
All right, girl, tell them. What are we doing today?
You know that series Trainwreck?
Yeah, it's
this is
so good.
The episode called Balloon Boy, about Balloon Boy, kind of.
Kind of.
This is a very unusual situation. It involves a home-built UFO powered by helium.
It looks like this Jiffy Pop thing floating across the sky.
I couldn't wrap my head around it.
It's so bizarre that you want to laugh.
What is this thing?
But then it turns serious.
What if my stupid experiment kills my son?
Richard always wanted to build a flying saucer.
When he said, we're going to try and make a flying saucer, and we're like, cool.
Look at this.
I'm like a kid now.
All I wanted to do was make a really fantastic project for the kids.
That Falcon's in there!
Where?
In that ship!
We heard all this chaos in their backyard. They said Falcon got in the balloon, and it took off.
The biggest nightmare ever.
Everyone starts covering this thing.
Incredible breaking news story.
It's worldwide.
It's blowing fast. It's cooking.
He said it's straight for air traffic.
This could be really bad.
We all thought that once that balloon came down, this whole thing would be over.
Ryan, what are you seeing on the ground there next to the balloon?
All right, girl, we're starting off in Fort Collins, Colorado. It's 2009. We meet Richard. How do you say their last name?
Heaney.
And he's an amateur scientist.
Sure he is. I can't stand this person.
I know.
He's the type of guy that even when he's happy, he's screaming at you aggressively.
Yeah.
Not my thing.
No. There's a reason why every time we see him move to a new place, it's a compound in the middle of the woods.
Like off the grid.
Yeah.
No one can stand this guy.
No.
Not least of all, his wife, Mayumi.
Yeah. Because in the beginning we learned the family had just moved to Fort Collins because they wanted to, quote, chase tornadoes and do science research projects. And my note here is we are not talking about him and his brother or him and his college best friend. We're talking about him and his children who he is driving into the eye of hurricanes.
Yeah, he's forcing. So they have three sons. Their ages in 2009 were Falcon, who's 6 years old, Rio, who's 8 years old. He's not here and never mentioned again.
I know.
And Bradford, who's 10 years old. Again, these were the ages in 2009.
Great names.
So all, like, this family, everything the family does, they seemingly do together because the dad forces them to.
Yes.
So at one point, one of the kids is like, yeah, our dad was always making us do these science experiments or watch them on YouTube. Like, they don't go to school. They're just, like, in the car while they're chasing these tornadoes and whatever.
Which, honestly, like, it's an adventure to the kids because why wouldn't it be? None of these kids are scared. But, like, we see this one shot of them in a car in a hurricane. The window to the car is broken. Everyone is screaming, but kind of with excitement.
Yes.
And I gotta say, his wife, Mayumi, is here, and she's kind of up for it.
Yeah, she's up for it. We meet some neighbors, Dean and Tina.
Not up for it.
They're trying to be really nice
they
and diplomatic
are.
About this whole thing,
yeah.
And that annoys me because I would love if they were just honest from the get-go.
Well, I've got more to say about them later, because in the end, I was a little bit like, oh, okay.
Yeah. But, like, Richard is the dad. He's obsessed with UFOs and aliens. And since 1979, his dream has been to build a flying saucer. And immediately I'm like, okay, wait a second.
Okay. Jillian's got questions.
If you want to build, like, a flying structure where, in that case, you can study or get a job in, like, aerodynamics or something, or do you want it to be a flying saucer, which, like, as we know it in pop culture, inherently applies that there's some kind of story behind it. And there's some kind of, like, do you want to be like an aero engineer, aerodynamics guy, or work for NASA? Or does it have to be a flying saucer? You know what I mean?
He wants it to be a DeLorean of the sky. You know what I mean? He thinks he's Doc Brown. He wants it to be a DeLorean. Can I be insufferable for one second?
Sure.
Will you say the word flying saucer again?
Flying saucer.
I
how
just
is
love,
it wrong?
No, it's not wrong. It's perfect. Okay. I just love how you say saucer.
Oh,
you
say
it's a flying saucer.
The W is silent and invisible, or not silent, very loud.
Very loud.
Richard wants to be. He wants to live in the Jetsons.
I just thought, what if everybody could be flying around like the Jetsons? It would be just wonderful. Everybody could be pulling out of the garage with their own flying saucer going to school and work, and you wouldn't have all this traffic.
With no traffic, and I'm like, well, no traffic on land, idiot.
I know.
The traffic's all in the sky now.
I mean, do you not... Know,
did you not watch a single episode of The Jetsons?
We also, like, is he not aware of the complete lack of the air... Like, how do you think the air traffic control works? People have to manage that traffic, and we don't have enough of them as it is. I cannot sit on a runway for another 4 hours waiting to take off.
So immediately I'm like, oh, this guy just, like, he's, like, doing a bit, right? Because he doesn't actually want to do any of this for real. He just wants to be in charge of all of the stuff he makes his family do.
Exactly. Right. He's not going
to
be...
He's not working for a company where he gets to do this for real.
No. Well, even the neighbor Dan is like, he was really smart. Like, the guy was really loud and, like, paced all the time. But I was like, are you from MIT? No, girl. He's not.
No,
he's
Dave.
Doc Brown without the DeLorean.
Like, come on. Yeah. Even George Jetson went to work.
I remember the part in the opening credits where she takes the money out of the wallet, hands him the cash, and keeps the wallet. Yeah. I loved her.
She's great.
God damn it.
Not Judy.
Judy's the daughter. Jane, his wife.
Oh, Jane, his wife.
Yeah. Yep. I did it.
Cartoon Network, right? That was like the
reruns. I loved it. Although I'm a person with a fear of heights and they live like so high up in the air that you can't see the ground.
They live in space.
Yeah. So that's not
It's like
for
the highest part of the air you can be is space.
Yeah. Not my journey, but
and
I'm happy
Astro. I know everyone's yelling at me to mention Astro.
What's
the
dog's name? Oh, Astro.
The dog's Astro. And then what's the kid?
His boy, Elroy.
Elroy.
I'm really doing it.
You got to sing it to yourself.
Jane,
that makes total
his
sense.
His wife. Yep. Yeah.
And then there, who was their housekeeper?
I can't think of her name.
She was a robot. Famous. Wait, we're going to get screamed at.
Excoriated.
Is that a real word?
Yeah.
We do have one old demonstrator model with a lot of mileage. Rosie
the robot.
That's right. Rosie the robot.
Thanks, Goog. Travel
down the road and back again. Girl, this message is sponsored by Greenlight. This is another one of those that we love and use. As you know, fam, Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families. It's a safe way to teach kids and teens about money, preparing them for bigger financial decisions later. We use this with Daisy every week. It's how she gets her allowance. It is my favorite thing.
Yeah, this is so great because with Greenlight, parents can send money quickly, they can get spending notifications, and you can even assign chores. So this is like a way to turn responsibility into like real world learning.
And as a kid who never had any financial like planning or advice from my parents, I gotta tell you, we sit down with Daisy every week. We go over how much money is in her account. She loves to save, which is unusual for the children.
Yeah.
She loves seeing how much money she has. She loves doing her chores to get her allowance because that's the thing. It has the chores feature, so you can set it up to be recurring or you can set it up for a one-time payment. You get a debit card that you can also customize. We've got a picture of Golden on ours. It is really this like essential part of her growing up now that I am obsessed with.
And it's sort of like demystifying the whole thing. It's kind of like, this is what an account, you know, it's not something that she feels is like too big. She like understands how big, it is a big responsibility, but it's not so big that it should be scary.
Totally. So fam, give your kids the financial education many of us didn't get.
Join millions of parents already using Greenlight, the number one family finance and safety app.
Start your risk-free Greenlight trial today at greenlight.com/TCO.
That's greenlight.com/TCO to get started.
Greenlight.com/TCO. And I'll send you a picture of Golden if you want to customize your card.
Cute. Okay, I'll take it.
Thanks.
So October 2009, the entire family starts working on the flying saucer, which is so annoying.
But everyone in the house is very excited.
And no surprise at all, we have tons of home videos of this. And the dad is being really annoying and aggressive, even though his childhood dream is coming true.
There we go. Yeah!
It's the kind of thing, he reminds me of my dad. And fam, I'm fine. I escaped very young. But like when I was a little kid, I do have these, like my dad would have ideas of things. And then like if it wasn't executed perfectly, like he would like flip out. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Like, so this is why I'm afraid of dads. This guy is the embodiment of why I'm afraid of dads.
I don't really get that. You see those like viral videos of like the guy's football team wins and he still breaks the TV. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Aren't we happy?
I know. I agree with you.
I don't understand.
It's, men are like the city of Philadelphia. Where even when it's good, they're going to break shit. Mm. And Philly, I say it with love.
Yeah.
I say that with love.
Yep. But the wife is like, it only took them 2 weeks to assemble it. I'm like, that's it. What has he been doing since 1979? Get NASA on the phone. This guy's a super speedy genius.
Well, but we do eventually learn, like, it's basically made of, like, tinfoil and duct tape. You
it
know what
looks
I mean?
Like tinfoil.
Yes.
And it looks like a deflated hot air balloon.
They're going to say a million times it looks like a Jiffy Pop container.
It looks like a pot, like and a deflated popcorn.
Yeah. Basically, if you take any receptacle that's light enough and fill it with helium, which is what he's about to do, it's going to float.
It's like the
any
SS,
one of us could do this.
The SS Reynolds wrap. It just looks like a bunch of tinfoil.
Nice.
Like, but like weak, deflated. You know what I mean?
The SS Reynolds wrap and like Jillian's the captain.
No, I'm not going anywhere near this thing.
If I can't get you on a party barge, I'm not getting you on a backyard UFO. Absolutely not.
But anyway, we get like...
We are hoping to do the test launch on our anniversary. The concept is to tether the flying saucer down and let it hover at 20 feet.
Mario.
And we can observe with the video cameras whether it's going to move left or right or up and down.
And film it to see what direction it goes in. And I'm like, doesn't the wind decide that? If it goes left or right or up down?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm like, okay.
You really do make a strong argument with the, what have you been doing since 1979 if this is only duct tape and tinfoil?
And it took 2 weeks. And I'm like, again, get NASA on the phone. But he doesn't want to do that.
No.
He wants to boss his family around.
Yeah, exactly.
And be a nightmare.
Yes.
So footage of the family being so happy and the saucer, which is not made of metal, like we said. It's like a tent. It's very, I'm like, wait, but a flying, even the Jetsons, it wasn't made of like fabric.
Can I ask you a question? Do you remember when this happened in real time? Because I do.
I don't really.
I fully remember this.
No.
I remember, it was terrifying.
Really? Were you like watching it live?
Yeah. Yes. I was bartending at the time and it was on whatever TV at whatever bar I was working at. I mean, everybody was like, oh my.
It seems like it was the big thing for like 36 hours and then it went away. So
literally.
If you weren't paying attention.
Yeah.
And remember, this was 2009. It was a time where you didn't really have to care so much.
Yeah, that's true.
About what was going on.
Although, tell 2009 us that, they'd probably be like, what are you talking about?
No, I know, but I'm saying comparatively.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like, maybe people weren't glued to the 24-hour news channels per se.
Yeah, no, I agree. Maybe not like on their phones the way that we are now.
If you're picking up what I'm putting down.
Yeah.
About the time of the world. But, you know, so maybe if you missed it.
Yeah.
I think it was easy to miss a quick 36-hour news story at the time.
Yeah, and so Richard has built a little compartment on the bottom side of this flying saucer that he tells us is meant for the helium tanks.
And I'm like, right, so it's like a flattened hot air balloon, but even more useless because no one can actually ride in it.
Exactly.
I'm like, okay.
I know.
Cool. So Falcon is 6 years old.
Yeah.
Falcon was pretty wild and chaotic.
You are, you say. Come on, get up.
I don't want to say shit starter, but like, he's like always getting into stuff. He'd be touching shit he wasn't supposed to. He was super interested in, like, hiding in the bottom of the flying saucer.
His own brother calls him a shit stirrer.
Yeah, well, because his older brother, Bradford, he's the oldest one. His job is to do all the videography, but also wrangle the children. Like, the dad's just there to be a maniac.
Bradford is 10 at the time, by the
10.
way.
The dad is just there to yell, and the
he's
kids
the star.
Do everything else. Yeah, 100%.
He's the star.
Yeah, yeah.
In his own mind. We get, like, tons of footage of Falcon yelling and announcing that he's inside the stupid thing, and he's explicitly saying it over and over again, like, I'm Falcon, and I'm in the thing. And then the mom's like, I clearly see that you're in the thing, Falcon. Now get out of the thing, you silly goose, because you're currently in it, and you're always doing that, and oh my God, you're in the thing. And I'm like,
wait
this
a second.
Is fake, right?
Is that what you think?
Yeah. This is the most poorly written, poorly acted thing
God,
I've ever
really?
Seen. Oh my God, really? Back at you. Are you telling me what I think you're telling me?
Well, I thought the whole point... Okay, wait. I thought the whole point of the Trainwreck series was to be like... Here's like the thing, because in my memory, we all thought this was a hoax in 2009. And I thought this was like the unraveling of how it wasn't a hoax.
I'm going to ask you something.
Okay.
And then we will get there together.
Okay.
But I'm going to ask you right now.
I guess I will marry you.
And after that, though, do you think that this was a hoax? By the end of this thing, like right now, do you think this was a hoax?
No.
What?
No.
Wait. Come on.
No, I mean, the way that it ends, like, no, I didn't think it was a hoax at all.
You're messing with me.
No. You think, wait, you...
I see this immediately, right? Uh-huh. I went into this, I was like, oh, that balloon boy thing and whatever. And I was like, I didn't look into anything. Okay. As I'm watching it right now, I'm like, this doesn't even start out as genuine to me. This is all completely manufactured, I believe, and will believe after the fact.
All right, convince me. I can be convinced. Okay. Because I feel like it ends with them being like, well, I don't want to give away the ending here, but.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, well,
this is going to be a long episode. Okay, so it's test day.
Yeah.
Thursday, October 15th, 2009.
Yes.
And this is, again, where I'm like, everything about this home video, like the fact that we have so many videos, it just feels so, like, rehearsed and poorly acted to
me. Yeah, the other thing that's important to note here is that Mayumi, the idea, remember, is to tether this thing down, let it float at 20 feet, and that's it. And that is Mayumi's job.
And let the wind decide.
But it's not supposed to go anywhere, and Mayumi is in charge of that.
Sure. So his dream has come true, right?
Yes.
Richard, he dreamed about it since 1979. 2 weeks ago, he decided he was going to spring into action.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
2 weeks later, instead of calling NASA, they're just doing this in their backyard.
Right.
And now he is suddenly at 1,000, not even 100.
Yeah.
You didn't put the fucking tether down!
I did!
Mayumi, what are you talking about?
I was so fucking pissed. It was hundreds of dollars. Gone.
You didn't put the fucking tether. And yeah. I'm like, first, this is so fake.
Oh, well, I just thought my whole thing about this guy was that here's my thing about Richard. This is a man with zero impulse control. I think he loves his wife. I think he loves his kids. I think he's misguided in a lot of his actions and whatever. But I really identified it the second time I watched it. He can be calm. He can be normal. He is also a kind of a lunatic, and he has wild ideas. And maybe he's like one of those like crazy smart artist, scientist people. But more than anything, he has no impulse control.
Zero. So
in a moment like this, when Mayumi has... in his mind, let him down. He's screaming at her. He's kicking a chair.
Yeah.
That is the kind of thing that, like, you have to examine that behavior. He does it in front of his wife, in front of his kids.
Oh, yeah.
It is abusive.
He's got one note, and that's it. Whether he's happy, sad, angry, scared, whatever.
Yeah.
The note is to scream and throw a tantrum like a child.
Yes.
Whether it's good, bad, or indifferent. And that is, as you said, abusive.
And I'll just tell you that, like, having gone through therapy for many, many, many years, like, that can be fixed. He can fix that. If he's willing to, like, look inside himself and do the work, that comes from somewhere.
He's never doing that.
No, but I'm just saying, if that is you and you have no, like, impulse control, work on it, you can fix it.
Yeah. Great. But, like, he's mad because the stupid popcorn thing keeps going up and up and up.
Well, because it's not, like, it's floating away now.
But I'm like, I'm sorry, what was the point of this again? Like, when I'm thinking about it, I'm like, you wanted to see if a deflated hot air Jiffy Pop thing would move left to right or up and down as it's being suspended 20 feet in the air but tethered. Who cares? That depends on the wind. But I'm not hearing any science. Like, like, what's the point?
Exactly. Because it's like, once again, anything that you fill with helium that is lighter than the helium is going to float. Like, we all knew this was going to float. What was the point?
The point is that it's all bullshit. The point is to get attention. Because then one of the sons...
Oh, Pensavalli!
One of the sons is like...
Dad, Falcon's in there!
Where?
In that ship!
He was just here!
No, he's in there!
What?
He's in there. I saw him crawl in.
No, he's not.
Yeah.
He was just right here.
Oh, no. Falcon's missing. The one who just kept saying over and over again that he was in the flying saucer and we heard a million times and the camera was staged perfectly.
Well, but they're a family that documents everything. And you're not the only one who's going to say that. We're going to hear lots of at least one of our talking heads later is going to be like, this feels like reality TV acting. To me, I watching it the second time, I was like, okay, I could see how that looks a little fake, but I could also see how, like, this guy's just a maniac.
Because when they realize or they think that now, like, both the fake flying saucer and their 6-year-old child are now floating into the sky.
Yes.
No one to me, I know we're not allowed to say that, like, if I wouldn't react that way, no one would react that way.
No, no,
I get that.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, the camera is set up to show the whole backyard. Like, it's not handheld. And as everyone's, like, running around, as the drama is unfolding, everyone just happens to stop right in the middle, right in the perfect perfect spot of the camera to be like, to like run, and then like meet up. It's almost like they have marks on their lawn.
Oh my
being like,
God.
Oh no, where's Falcon? Like, look to camera. It's like waiting for Guffman.
Yeah.
You know, you close your eyes when you're not looking at the camera, and then you open it, and then you close your eyes. It's like that.
Worse. Oh my God.
I would go see a musical about Blaine 10 times over before I watch
it. I want to like pause the recording and watch the documentary again, looking at it from this perspective. Because I was just watching it for enjoyment.
Yeah. But also, I do want to say that something that I learned that maybe, I don't know, take this what you will. These two met in an acting class in 1997. That's all.
Oh, really?
That's all. They just met.
Wait, Mayumi and Richard?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Today, the family's like, we were panicking. We searched everywhere. Falcon is a hider. He hides a lot. So they were like checking all of his usual hiding spots.
Yeah, he really is. And the other son, the one that was doing the video recording, he's like, Dad, I've been telling you this whole time that he's in the balloon. Like, he went in there.
And then like today, Mayumi, the wife, is like trying her damnedest to cry to Netflix, not producing a single tear. But she's like, oh, like, what have we done? I'm not 100% sure why someone didn't just get in the car and follow the balloon. Like, was that not an option? They just are screaming the camera's rolling.
What would you do if you catch up to the balloon? Like, this, like,
I don't know, at least someone have eyes on it, and then someone, I don't know. It just feels like they're just making, everything they're doing is just happens to be on camera, and no one's actually making a move of any kind to save their child, who is now seemingly floating away.
I would also love to see the action sequence of Mayumi in the car just driving through cornfields,
right,
and driving through shopping mall parking lots.
I don't know. I feel like the last thing, okay, your son, I know I'm not allowed to speak to this either because I'm not an actual human mother, but like your child is floating away.
Yeah.
Would you stay in the one spot that you're, or would you just try to like run? Wouldn't your instinct be to maybe like go to them?
No, I don't think so. I think my instinct would be to do what they do. Like, now I gotta tell you, my instinct would be to grab my phone, make sure I'm recording myself.
Get the perfect ring light, good shot, get the ring light, get the
lighting, make sure it's at magic hour,
sure,
and then call.
Always shot from above.
Always shot from above.
Travel.
Girl, Miracle made us back. Look, we gave up our apartment for the weekend like we do once a year. We came home. Our Miracle sheets had been freshly washed and put on the bed. I slipped in and it was like I was staying at a 5-star hotel.
Well, here's the thing. I'm a big temperature girly.
Yes.
So like, I used to either wake up like sweaty or freezing or just uncomfortable or some combination of the three. But Miracle Made Sheets sort of got rid of all that because they're inspired by NASA technology. They use silver infused temperature regulating fabric. So I'm sleeping perfectly all night long.
And listen, sheets can be disgusting, but thanks to Miracle's antibacterial silver technology, Miracle Made Sheets stay cleaner and fresher up to 3 times longer than regular sheets. So we're talking fewer odors, fewer wash cycles, and way less laundry. Who doesn't want that?
I know, seriously. And they feel just as good, if not better, if I'm being honest, than the sheets you'd find at a 5-star hotel, which you know you love, but also without that price tag.
Yes. Just go back to the self-cleaning nature of these sheets. It's way better for your skin.
Yep.
Because the bacteria in sheets can clog up your pores and cause breakouts. Never, never again. Less laundry, fewer breakouts.
I'm in. Sign me up.
So fam, upgrade your sleep or give the gift of a better rest.
Go to trymiracle.com/TCO to try Miracle Made Sheets today.
You'll save over 40% when you use promo code TCO. And when you use promo code TCO, you'll get an extra 20% off plus a free 3-piece towel set.
They make an amazing gift. And with a 30-day money-back guarantee, there's no risk.
So fam, that's trymiracle.com/TCO, code TCO at checkout.
Thanks to Miracle Made for sponsoring this episode.
So then, because what Richard does do, oh no.
Well, tonight, 19 minutes in the air, right?
Because what Richard does do is call the FAA. And my notes here are like, this is such chaos. I can't stand it. Because nobody is taking him seriously. He's like, my son is in a flying saucer, and I know you're the FAA, and I guess he just happened to have their number. Oh my God.
They're like, sir, this is a Wendy's. Call 911.
I know.
Like, stop tying up our phone lines. So when they call 911, which no one has done in 19 minutes, everyone.
Because he just had the number for the FAA. Oh my God, you're right. Oh my God.
Or he Googled it, whatever. And they're just screaming as loud as possible.
I love that now you're giving me the benefit of the doubt. That's very kind
whatever.
Of you. You're a giving
so
person.
We have a long way to go.
I know.
So all the neighbors are now coming out, and like everyone's on the lawns. Whatever, they call 911.
He's in the air?
Yeah.
When's the last time you saw him?
About 15, 20 minutes ago.
Okay.
How the heck are we going to get him down?
Is somebody there with you?
The operator asked me to get on the phone so she could verify what he was saying to her.
The person doesn't believe them, and they're like, is there a woman around? Can you put your wife on the
phone
to confirm?
That's exactly what happens. And I'm saying, I know we're supposed to be mad at this dispatcher because the kid is now 10,000 feet in the air. Can you imagine getting a call being like, my son is in a flying saucer headed for the airport?
That dispatcher is also an Occam's razor girly.
Yeah.
They're like, can I speak to a woman?
I know.
This feels not right.
I know. And they put Mayumi on the phone. Now, there is kind of a language barrier with Mayumi, but she's like, yes, my husband just told you, like, he's in a flying saucer head. Fam, I cannot state this more clearly. He's in a flying saucer headed into the flight pattern of the local Casper airport.
Says his father, who just, I guess, happens to know the air traffic off the top of his head.
Oh, my God. Go to hell, Pensavalli. Go to hell.
I will see you there. Bob Hefferman, investigator.
Yeah.
He's driving around in his cop car, counting the seconds until he's off duty so he can go elk hunting.
I was like, Bob, this is just so wild.
He gets the call, hauls ass over to the Heaney house.
He gets a call. He's like, I got a call about a boy supposedly who went up in a flying saucer.
And
Bob.
Everyone except the parents are like hoping against hope that Falcon is not in the balloon. But the parents are like, he's in the balloon and they're there's no other option. And I'm like,
I know.
Okay,
now,
that's a choice.
If you see it from like the outside perspective, like the kids are like, we watched him go in and then the saucer took
off. They sure did. They saw and he said it a bunch of times. They even have it on camera.
But I'm just saying to the cop, like if I'm the cop, I'm pretty like, because the cop does then go search the house. He says three times.
Three times top to bottom. Like so, they search it as much. According to the cop, this house could not be searched any better.
Yes.
Or any more times.
Yes. And so everybody just is like, oh my God, that kid is in the flying saucer.
And then now, like, the whole neighborhood is searching. They're looking at the parks and playgrounds, like, other backyards. And then suddenly, it's all over the local news where someone literally says, we'll get to the economy in a second, but first.
Well, in 2009.
I mean, and I quote.
Remember, in 2009, it was like, that was like the crash of all crashes.
Yeah, 2008, right? But we were still, like, dealing with it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So now he has been in the air. We get the on-screen text. An hour and 9 minutes and 1 second.
I'm Kim Christensen. We'll get to the economy in just a moment. But first, some breaking news about a very unusual situation. It involves a child and a home-built aircraft in the shape of a UFO powered by helium. The child's father actually called our information center in a panic, asking if we would launch our helicopter.
Jillian.
Yeah.
He calls the local news because he knows they have a helicopter.
Yep.
And I said, Richard, way to think on your feet again.
Yeah, no.
Why am I even here?
I don't know, but it's fun for me.
Why am I even here?
It's a little fun. It's a little fun.
I mean, was so giving them the benefit of the doubt.
And like, I guess a lot. Here's the thing that happened here, I think, looking back on it. Everyone was like wrapped up in the chaos.
Yes.
It was one of those things where everything was happening so fast that you don't really have time to think.
Yeah.
And that's what we have here. We'll
get to it when we get to it. But there is a thing that happens. Like, we are promised something in the documentary that doesn't happen. And I'm like, okay, we'll get to it in a minute.
Okay. So, yeah, the father's calling the news, asking them to send out their helicopter. And they do it. And I'm like, why?
I mean, of course they do. There's like a kid 10,000 feet in the air.
Yeah. So the balloon has been spotted in the sky. And it's described as a needle in the haystack. I'm like, it's the sky.
It's a UFO,
it's like
in the sky.
In the open sky.
It's a UFO.
What do you mean, Anita? What are there, 10,000 UFOs in the sky?
But the other thing, too, is that, like, Jimmy is the name of the pilot. And he's like, okay, so we found the thing. Now what?
Right.
There's nothing they can do.
And, like, no matter what happens, all we can do is watch.
Yeah.
And hopefully nothing horrifying happens on live television.
I mean, nobody considers that. Nobody considers that at any moment this kid could wake up from his nap, roll over, and fall 10,000 feet.
Or some people, I think, in the most cynical ways, are kind of hoping for it. Like, in terms of ratings and numbers.
Podcast broke you?
You know, like, I think there are some people being like, oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no. It'd be a real shame if we got the best ratings of our goddamn life.
Can you imagine how awful?
It's Network. It's the movie Network. If you haven't seen the movie Network, please do it. That's I'm Mad as Hell and I'm Not Going to Take It Anymore. That's, like, the most cynical, like, live news point of view you can get from the 70s, way before its time. But anyway, Robert Sanchez is here. He's a local journalist. He's the guy who's like, it looks like a Jiffy Pop thing in the sky.
He writes for a magazine called 5280 Magazine.
So this thing is actually moving, like, pretty quickly across the sky.
Well, yes, and also moving really quickly across the airwaves. You see what I did there?
I am watching the TV when MSNBC breaks into a Barack Obama town hall.
I'm going to ask all three of you to hang on just a minute because we have rather an incredible breaking
news. I'm flipping through the channels, and this has gone from a hyper-local story to ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, Fox News.
It's national news in minutes.
Yeah, it's all over Twitter. It's like trending all over the place. The National Guard is involved. Someone says this is an Apollo 13 situation. First of all, how dare you? Second of all, how dare you? Third of
first
all,
and second of all,
you can take it up with my husband. He'll be home on Thursday. That movie is so good.
Oh my God.
It's an Apollo 13 situation. Can we
I
not?
Know. But they say it's ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, Fox. Like every station is going live with this. And like, I remember, can you imagine, like, there's a little boy in a flying saucer headed for the airspace of the airport, and there's nothing anyone can do about it.
And the news is just reporting, sight unseen, that, like, yep, there's a kid in there.
Yeah.
I don't hear, maybe there was, I did not watch all footage from every fucking channel that was reporting this, but I'm not hearing here, allegedly, we're told, reportedly, seemingly. It's just like, no, there's a fucking kid in there and he's 20,000 feet in the sky and oh my God, there's nothing we could do but watch and fingers crossed nothing bad happens.
Do you think this is how we prove that jetpacks don't exist? Because if there were jetpacks.
Like the Rocketeer?
Yeah. If there were, because you ever like scroll TikTok and then you see like people on jetpacks and you're like, is that real or is this AI? If jetpacks were real, somebody would have gone out and got that kid, right?
In Colorado, yeah.
That's how this works, yeah, right? Like, you put on your jetpack, you go get the little boy.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I guess so.
So they're not real. We proved it.
The Rocketeer is very real in my heart.
Okay, great, of course.
So Richard Heaney has the audacity to say to us today.
We couldn't afford cable. So I was in the dark as to what was going on. But one of the cops told me I got to stay put. And I'm like, I can't just stand here and do nothing. I needed to know what the hell was going on.
I was totally in the dark about the chaos that was ensuing. First of all, bullshit. Second of all, this was on every single channel, including the ones you don't need cable for.
Okay, but he says we couldn't afford cable. Like, that really hit me.
Okay, but you have what are the other channels? 2, 4, 5, 7, 11?
Well, maybe they didn't have a TV because they couldn't afford cable, and then what would be the point?
They had a TV. And also, why are you? You should be in the chaos. What are you doing at home? Your child is about to fall out of the sky.
In Richard's defense, according to Richard, he was told to stay put by the cops.
Okay. So people are trying to be part of the story, typical, right? Like calling the cops in the news saying they saw something fall out of the popcorn air balloon thing,
but
just
like,
for the sake of being
there
involved.
There is an image, and it is like, they say later the image is like grainy, but like that's really scary.
The thing, what I find scarier is that the cops are like, it's not the best photo. It totally could be a bird, but we have to assume that this is credible. And I'm like, do we have to assume that it's credible?
Well, I mean, I think the proof would be in the pudding, right? Like, I think if a kid fell out of a balloon, you'd be able to find him pretty easily.
Well, yeah.
You know what I mean?
I just sort of took umbrage with, like...
I'm agreeing with you.
Like,
I'm saying...
Yeah, like, why do we have to assume that it's credible?
Here's the thing. I'm coming to your side on this.
Yeah.
But I think in the moment, the cops have searched the house 3 times.
Sure.
They didn't find the kid. So they're believing unless they think that the family, like, told the kid to go hide in the woods or go hide somewhere else. Mm-hmm. Like, everyone really, and, like, the parents are crying. And I think that, like, everyone's believing, like, if he's not here, he's got to be there.
Everyone's very wrapped up in this.
Yeah.
For sure. Because...
But it also does track for them, like, for the cops, that, like, if the kid isn't in the house and then one kid says he saw him get the balloon, like, that's got to be where he is.
Yeah.
And then if he falls, I mean, my God, like, that is just horrible.
Horrifying. He's been in the air for 2 hours and 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And now the Jiffy Pop balloon thing is starting to deflate.
It is clearly losing a tremendous amount of gas.
Significantly in the last 15 minutes.
Yes.
Even.
I think he's less than 200 feet off the ground at this point.
He's going down.
Boy, he's coming down now.
Here it goes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's coming
right
down
in.
Now.
Oh, that very like softly.
Very
soft.
Look at that.
Very softly.
Very softly.
I mean, it's almost
it
like,
says, like
it's
the,
choreographed.
It's, I think I find it very funny when you like watch something like this happen or if someone's skydiving and then they're just like, and then they just go like they plop.
Oh,
it's,
yeah.
It's a very like gentle kind of plop and then they always fall.
Yeah, that's like me skiing. That's
they're
the only way
like,
I know how to fall.
They always just end on the ground. It's a very gentle plop.
But this one was just like, I was like, damn, that's pretty. Like, I feel like you couldn't make that happen if you tried.
It's like a ballet.
Yeah, kind of. But like, because it could have gone a lot worse. It could have been like all of a sudden, there's no helium and it just drops 10,000 feet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So now a news photographer runs to it. Not any of the family, a photographer.
Well, I was saying that, like, this is like some E.T. shit because it was actually filmed kind of beautifully because the thing lands and you see, like, ambulances and fire trucks and cars all, like, screeching towards this thing. And there's this one, like, the local photojournalist on the ground. He's the only one there. And this is really wild and kind of heartbreaking because he's the one that, like, is the first to say,
well, I've got the... some information that I'm not quite sure how to say it, but I don't believe that they found anybody with this balloon.
Oh my goodness.
I don't know how to say this, but there's no little kid in here.
And everyone immediately goes to tragedy.
Yeah.
Somehow the boy has died and vanished into thin air.
I don't know how they possibly couldn't. What else would they be thinking?
Instead of maybe thinking of the much more likely scenario that he wasn't actually in there in the first place.
I mean, once again, I think that, like, the house was searched 3 times by the cops. The kid said he saw the kid get in. The parents are sobbing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, they have tears this time or no?
I don't know.
Because I don't know either. I didn't see him.
All I'm saying is, like, I'm giving these people, like, the benefit of the doubt. You are right. I think these people are wrapped up in this, but I don't think, given the set of facts that everybody had, I would think the same thing. I'd be like, he must have fallen out.
Well, because it's been 2 hours of, like, this is the narrative, right?
Travel. Girl, Ritual is back. Look, we're all doing the work. We're going to the gym. We're eating the salads. But we gotta keep our bodies healthy for the long run. And that is where Ritual comes in.
Yeah, we're doing our best. We're still, like, most likely not getting all of the essential nutrients we need daily, right?
Exactly.
So Ritual's essential multis have the nutrients that most of us don't get enough from food in all their clean, absorbable forms.
Yeah, we're talking 9 key nutrients in 2 delayed-release capsules designed for optimal absorption per day. They got you covered. It's gonna get into your system.
Yeah, that's why we're loving the Essential for Women 18 Plus Multi. Like, that's what it's all about. And they're designed to be gentle on the stomach with a minty essence in every bottle. So it helps taking your multis actually enjoyable. Because I got to tell you, I know it sounds like I'm a kid, but that's sometimes a struggle for me taking these pills. But their minty essence really helps me out.
And they also love the science. So Ritual even conducted a university-led clinical trial. And guess what? The results? It increased vitamin D levels by 43% and omega-3 DHA levels by 41% in just 12 weeks. That's no time.
Yeah, and Ritual's Essential is third-party tested for heavy metals and it's Clean Label Project certified. That means you know exactly what you're putting in your body and you can trust it.
And they've been with us forever. We love them. So fam, instead of striving for perfect health, aim for supporting foundational health.
Get 25% off your first month only at ritual.com/TCO.
Start Ritual or add Essential for Women 18 Plus to your subscription today.
That's ritual.com/TCO for 25% off.
Just do it. It's so minty.
I know. I love the mint.
Girl, Chime is back. Look, we all know this. Chime is banking done right. So that's why when you set up direct deposit through Chime, you get access to fee-free features like free overdraft coverage, like hello, getting paid up to 2 days early with direct deposit, and more.
Yeah, so with qualifying direct deposits, you're eligible for a free overdraft up to $200 on debit card purchases and cash withdrawals.
So look, there's no monthly fees or maintenance fees on the checking account, and not to mention the fact that you get access to over 47,000 free ATMs. That's more than the top 3 national banks combined. The fees alone would pay my rent.
I mean, are you kidding? $6? $7? I mean, some of those fees are crazy.
I once paid a $20 fee.
47,000 fee-free ATMs. That's nuts.
And nuts. Gone are the days of walking around the city looking for an ATM that's not going to charge you. Like, they're
all over the place.
My favorite part.
Those days are long gone.
So fam, work on your financial goals through Chime today.
Open an account in 2 minutes at chime.com/TCO.
That's chime.com/TCO.
Chime feels like progress.
And it does.
It does, especially now that you're not searching for an ATM that's not $8.
Exactly.
Chime is a financial technology company, not a bank. Banking services and debit card provided by the Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. Members FDIC. Spot me eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply. Timing depends on submission of payment file. Fees apply at out-of-network ATMs. Bank ranking and number of ATMs according to U.S. News and World Report 2023. Chime checking account required.
So back at the house, the cops are with the family. Funeral arrangements are underway, essentially. We hear from the neighbor.
I love that. And I understand why, because you're watching it with a very specific perspective. So I'm not giving you shit at all.
But you give me shit?
No. I'm sobbing during this part. Because, I mean, I know that the kid's okay. I've seen the documentary.
Yeah. There's an excellent chance my point of view is completely
no, wrong. No. But I'm just saying, I'm enjoying your... I mean, I love your snark, and I love it here. I'm all day, every day. But I'm just saying, our two very different different experiences of watching this.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, even though I know that the kid's going to be all right, like, I'm living in the moment of these people, like, these neighbors thinking, like, we're going to, because one of the neighbors, like, we were planning a community funeral.
Yeah.
Like, a little boy falling 10,000 feet to his death.
Yeah. So anyway, guess who pops his head out from around the kitchen doorway?
I just remember turning around. Oh, my God.
Falcon! You're home! I couldn't believe it. It was the greatest surprise I ever had.
Falcon! Can you believe it? Yeah, I mean, the timing. Are you... Wait a minute after this dramatic landing?
I know.
When everyone is still way too wrapped up in the drama to... possibly think clearly. I mean, there he is. I mean, wow.
Yeah.
So now we get grown-up Falcon. He sits down and he's ready to talk. And this is when I'm like, okay, so now we're going to shift gears, right? Like, this is the moment where the whole family is going to explain the whole plan and that they just wanted to be on TV and that, like, it was a hoax the whole time and they knew it and they were acting. And now this is where they're going to come clean, right? No, dear listener. The family... All
and
of them.
That thought never occurred to me.
Because the way they have grown, because it's like, oh my God, like, there he is. We couldn't believe it. And then it's like, this is the first time we're seeing grown-up Falcon.
Yeah.
And it's like, not like a tactic, but a technique we've seen a million times in documentaries, right?
It's where I'm
like,
very effective.
And I'm like, oh, he's going to be like, oh, my parents told me what to do, and this is what I did, and this is where I hid, and we gotcha.
Well, but even more, in my opinion, important than that, we learned that, like, for anybody who doesn't know the story, you learn that Falcon didn't die. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's kind of like, it's like, oh my, it's a very effective, it's like in Abducted in Plain Sight when you see Jan for the first time, you're
thank
like,
God.
Oh my, and very
and
early.
Thank God they did it early.
Yeah.
I mean, so that's where I was like, oh, he's going to come clean. You guys know.
Well, but also remember Falcon was 6. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
even if this is a hoax and he was in on it, he's still innocent.
Right. But I'm not saying, I'm just saying, I thought this was going to be like, let me tell you how we did this.
Right.
And as far as I'm concerned, every last one of these people of the Heenies are keeping up what I believe is bullshit.
Yeah.
Because they want us to believe that Falcon was up sleeping in the attic through the 3 police searches, 2 hours of screaming and crying and chaos on the front lawn.
I will say that it's not like that attic in the house. It's the attic in the garage.
Yes.
And it is described as his, quote, new hiding spot.
Yeah.
And so we will actually see it late at the very end. It is a tiny crawl space that you have to, like, you know, and basically Falcon tells the story. What?
This image that they paint is Falcon coming down the stairs like it's Christmas morning,
rubbing
his eyes like, ooh, yawning like, mommy, why are you quiet?
Yeah.
Like this innocent little, and the dad's like, well, son, you had us worried. And I'm like, this isn't the Jetsons. This is not the fucking Donna Reed show.
Yeah. But I mean, like, he's crying, they're crying, everybody's all emotional. And Falcon tells us on the day of the launch, he was trying to sneak into the flying saucer. And like, we see video of the dad yelling at him.
Once he yelled at me a few times, I was scared. And I was like, you know what? I'm just not going to be here. And then I remember wanting to go inside and just chill out for a bit. I made my way through the house up to my new hiding spot, the garage, attic. I just chilled there for a while. And then I got bored. Fell asleep.
And he's bored and he falls asleep. And then he only came downstairs because he was hungry, not because there was absolute chaos for 2.5 hours, screaming, crying. And they didn't think to go, oh, that, how about that new hiding spot? Nobody thought to check that
or
for 2.5 hours.
Or it was so new that nobody knew where it was.
What about the parents?
I mean,
maybe they didn't know.
I do think it's interesting that we have all of this footage of him climbing into it, but we have no footage of him climbing out of it.
I know, it's real weird.
Yeah.
It is weird, isn't it? So at 5:05 p.m., even more chaos, because all the reporters want a piece of the action.
Yes.
And now...
Because, like, it cannot be overstated what a media circus this has become. Like, the media has taken over their block. I mean, it's that whole thing where it's, like, just, like, truck after truck after truck of, like, media everywhere.
And that was before he was found hungry and confused in the kitchen, being like, why are you crying, mommy? Like, give me a break.
Yes.
So Jim is the county sheriff, and he's like, well, Richard, the dad, decided he wanted to go out and address the media. Yeah. Oh, I bet he did.
Well, Richard now is saying, no, I didn't want to do that. They made me do it.
And so, and it's not like he's good at it, because opening his mouth is what furthered all these questions about this whole thing being fake.
Well, yeah.
Especially because now they go on Larry King and Richard's like, fine, I'll do one show. And like the one show that I'm totally picking at random because I do not care at all.
Yeah.
And I guess I'll pick, fine, Larry King, whatever.
But joke's on them because they don't get Larry King. They get fucking Blitzer.
They get Wolf Blitzer. The whole family's on TV. The parents, the three kids, who again are all under 10.
Yes.
Wolf Blitzer's like,
want to go right out to Fort Collins, Colorado. I don't know if Falcon can hear me, but was he, because I know at some point he fell asleep in that garage. Did he hear you screaming out, Falcon, Falcon?
Hey, buddy. Hey, Falcon. Can you hear me? Because you didn't hear all those people screaming for you for 2.5 hours.
Yeah, yeah.
Slept through all that commotion, did you? And I'm like, whoa.
Wait, do you think Blitzer's on your side? You think that he thinks it's totally a hoax?
Totally.
You can't bullshit a Blitzer.
No. You can't bullshit a Blitzer. 101 zillion percent. He's trash though now, right?
I don't know.
I can't keep track.
I cannot keep up.
And if he was, it happened 10 years ago. I don't know anymore.
You can't bullshit a Blitzer.
But the annoying dad is like, hey, Falcon. He's asking if you heard us calling your name at any time. Speaking to his kid like they are first meeting. Like they've never met. And Falcon goes, mm-hmm. He says yes. And the parents are like, you did? And I'm like, oh shit, Falcon's going off script. This is why they say to not work with kids or animals in show business.
Well, but this is the other thing. Like, if my whole idea is that if this was a hoax and you know that six-year-olds are unpredictable and you cannot tell them to do anything, why would you go on Larry King?
This got away from everyone, including the parents.
Well, and my big note here is like, if you work in media training, let this episode be a commercial for your business. Some people might think that media training is bullshit. This is a commercial for what can go wrong if you don't get proper media training.
And also, actually, to be totally insufferable for 2 seconds.
Yeah.
You know that quote where it's like, this is why you shouldn't work with kids in show business that I just referenced, kids and animals? That is actually, it's not a warning. People use it as kind of a warning. The original idiom or whatever is about how they're probably going to steal the show. Like the cute kid, the cute animal will probably upstage you.
Well,
but in this case, I'm going to use it as the warning.
I mean, Falcon certainly does here because finally, like it's this whole thing. And this is what like these interviews used to be like in the 90s, where there'd be one person with an earpiece in trying to translate to the whole family and nobody can hear anybody.
Because the dad's like, well then, son, why didn't you come out?
He's asking Falcon, did you hear us calling your name at any time?
Hmm?
You did?
You did?
Why didn't you come out?
You guys said that we did this for the show.
Man.
No.
Well, because you said not to, that we did this all for the show. And the dad, maybe...
Now I'm going to be insufferable. Because it wasn't like that. He didn't say that. What he said was, you guys said we were doing this for the show. And he says it... He says it, like, to his dad, like, wait, what are you talking about?
Off script.
Yeah. And, like, and then now, to your credit, the dad immediately goes...
Maybe in the realest moment to date, kind of hangs his head in defeat, and he goes, man.
Yes.
Kind of like, man, we almost had it.
Yes.
And
because Mayumi, the mom, before he does that, Mayumi goes, no.
No, they are all like Falcon.
Yeah. They
don't hang your hat on the six-year-old.
But the thing about it, though, is that it can be seen both ways. It can be seen as like, oh, shit, he just blew our cover. Or, oh, God, he just made this so much worse.
Because the mom's like, no.
Right.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Now, today on Netflix, the father will say two conflicting things. First, he says that the earpiece had like so much feedback that he couldn't hear anything.
Yeah.
And then when pressed by the person behind the camera, he goes, yeah, well, I heard him a little, but that doesn't mean I understood what he said. And I'm like, uh-huh.
Yeah. He's not making himself look good here. I was thinking if this were me and I were dumb enough to, you know, be involved in any of this, but then also to go on Larry King, which is actually a Blitzer. And then
the Blitzer switcheroo.
The whole Blitzer. Switcheroo. And then Daisy pulls some shit like saying you did it for the show. I think it could be read as Richard knowing immediately what's going to happen.
Right.
Immediately, everyone's going to think we made this up for some TV show.
And like this guy doesn't have an answer for the exchange. Now, I got to slow down on something because we get all of these internet comments. Because remember, the internet and the world was following this for a couple hours, right? So we see a couple comments.
They make it look like TikTok, but it must have been like MySpace.
Yeah,
you know?
Right. this was, it wasn't that, was it? What year was it?
2009?
But we get one where it's like, oh my God, this is a scam. The little boy slipped up. Balloon Boy was a hoax. Then we get one of my favorite internet comments of all time. Maybe my favorite because I can't name another internet comment. This made me laugh so hard. The comment is, and I quote, now put a shithead dad in a balloon and launch it. And it's the launch it that killed
yes.
me. The way this was worded made me laugh so hard. Now put the shithead dad in a balloon and launch it. I was like, who's that? I want to be friends with that person.
Because I just want to reiterate, I do think that Richard's reaction can be seen as this whole thing is now going to take on a life of its own. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And okay. Then, yeah, but do you though?
And then what happens is, Friday, the next morning, they go on yet another show to do damage control.
Oh, my God.
And they talk to Diane Sawyer.
Yeah.
And my first question is, why, Diane? Why are you even entertaining this? And I know the answer is that if she doesn't, some competitor would.
Miss
so she
Barbara Walters is going
to
get
essentially
it.
Essentially had to. Yeah. And they just want attention. And Diane Sawyer is giving them what they want. And I know, dear listener, yes, we are doing that exact same thing.
Yes.
But this time, they prepped Falcon, or so they thought, to really bring the dramatics.
Yes. The thing is, before anybody opens their mouth, Falcon is sitting there, like, nuzzled up next to his dad. He looks so sad and exhausted and tired and uncomfortable. Diane Sawyer is in the middle of talking. Falcon, six-year-old Falcon, goes,
Mom, I feel like I'm gonna vomit.
Oh.
But then Falcon starts getting sick being on TV.
Should we take you to the bathroom or something?
Yeah.
Is he okay? Is somebody going to go with him? Mayumi, do you want to run with him? That's okay. We'll
Is
understand.
That okay?
Sure.
Okay.
We understand.
Nobody follows him.
Well, and then he doesn't really throw up. He just does that open mouth cough that kids and rude adults do.
But he leaves and the adults don't, like his mom or dad doesn't go with him. And Diana's like, Mayumi, did you want to go with him?
She's like, is there an adult in the room?
But
But
I totally understand why these parents feel like they can't.
Why?
I totally understand that they feel like Diane Sawyer is here. She is the king of me. She is the boss of me. And unless somebody tells me that I can get up and leave, I'm not allowed to get up. I really can't understand that, like, I don't want to fuck this up. I don't want to fuck this up for them. We framed this shot. Like, I'm like, as a parent, I feel like I've probably been in that situation where I'm like, I know the right thing to do is this, but why won't my body let me do it? Like, I think that's a real, it doesn't make them shitty people. It doesn't make them, in my opinion, like media hungry. I think they really didn't want to get in trouble with Diane Sawyer.
Interesting.
You know?
Because what I was thinking, that's okay. Interesting to hear. Because I was like, well, if this was real, his parents would have told everyone to go fuck themselves and protect their kids' well-being and, like, try to maybe help their kid who may or may not be throwing up all over their home.
I do think, though, there is another way to look at it, which is just like, but this is our last big platform to be able to say, like, no, what we said yesterday isn't real. What we said yesterday is not really what happened. Like, I swear to God, we didn't make this up.
Okay.
You know?
Okay, that's fair enough.
And we'll never know the truth, really. Yeah. But I think that it can be seen both ways.
Because I would be thinking, I'm not arguing, I'm just sharing my perspective.
I would be
thinking, like, I don't really give a shit if you believe me or not. This is what happened. And my kid is literally getting sick over it. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Go fuck yourself. I don't care if you believe me.
And that's why it's, like, more to your point what happens next. Because that is exactly what should have happened. Look, the Blitzy Blitzer shouldn't have happened. The Diane Sawyer shouldn't have happened. But they did. And so then it's like, now it should be like, we can't do this right. We don't know how to do this. We need to shut this down.
Yeah.
We are not speaking. We are not talking. We're going to get in the car and try to go somewhere safe where we can hide and, like, get our life back together.
Because the Blitzer interview was a mess.
Yeah.
Then the damage control interview with Diane Sawyer also a mess. But now everyone watching is like, wait, who are these people? Like, what's their story? Is this real? Have they done anything like this before?
Yeah.
Turns out they were on Wife Swap. Travel.
Girl, Function is back. Look, I've been using Function for a couple of months now. I love it. And I chose Function because it's the only health platform that gives me data most people never get. And my favorite part, the insights to start doing something about it.
Yeah, burnout. Like, I think a lot of people are just like, oh, burnout's just like, I have, like, long hours and a busy calendar. And yes, like, some of that's true, but it's also just biology. Like, chronic stress can add up and it can, like, really affect your bodies beyond just, like, that, like, feeling drained.
Yes, and you can honestly get get a look into why you might be feeling this burnout when you're looking at the function dashboard, because a couple of the biomarkers that you can track where you get the insight into like why you might be feeling this way, cortisol. So this is the stress hormone, and imbalances in your cortisol can cause symptoms such as fatigue, poor sleep, or weakened immunity, and you can look at your dashboard and see how you're doing.
Yeah, because most routine physicals are skipping these markers.
Yes.
So that's why you're feeling like, wait, why am I feeling this way? But it's actually measurable.
That's why I love the function dashboard. So I was doing it as I'm getting older. My doctor recommended that I be monitoring my testosterone levels. I'm doing great, but I wanted to make sure. So be like me, fam. Learn more and join our community using our link.
Function is a near 360 view to see what's happening in your body. And our first 1,000 listeners get a $100 credit toward their membership.
Visit www.functionhealth.com/TCO or use gift code TCO100 at sign up to own your health. You're going to love this dashboard. I love
it. You're going to love it. And you got to own it. That's the thing.
Own it.
We got to do it.
Okay, can we just take a second for Wife Swap?
Because we need to go into this, like...
You watch the episodes. I haven't watched these, but it's a terrible name. I hate the name. But I loved Wife Swap so much.
Tell me why.
Because it was a really good reality show where it seemed like every time both families learned a valuable lesson. It was like...
Is that right?
Yeah, they would take these families from like wildly different experiences and the husbands would switch
it's really
houses.
Like a family swap, kind of. Yeah, like the spouses swapped,
the
spouses, right?
The spouse, exactly.
Right?
The like, Wife Swap was like a grabby title. It's
totally
so dumb. And then the new person in the home would have to come and sort of like do things their way, but also make the family do things their way. Like, you know, like the kids were shitty and the new mom is like a, you know, a more of a disciplinarian. Yeah. She would implement that.
Did you feel like it was put on for the cameras? Did you feel like it was magnified on purpose? Like, did you really believe like these people are being who they are? Legit?
Yeah, I did. Okay. And they would really struggle. Like you would always, they're missing their families, but they're also not being accepted into their new, and sometimes it would work out great.
It does sound really like almost painful to go through. It doesn't sound fun to
but
do.
It would always end up with almost, not every time, but it would almost always end up with like these people hated each other at the beginning of the week. And now at the end, they're like, I still don't really like Stan, but I understand where he's coming from. And this is what I've learned about this way of living that I didn't know. Maybe I'll take this back to my family.
And they would like come together at the end, right?
Yes,
and all kind of discuss.
Yes. And not every episode, not every time, but there was
well, you can't have a happy ending every time.
Every
you gotta have a little bit of drama.
There was like a lesbian wife that went to a straight family once that was mildly homophobic. Yeah, it was.
What did she do wrong?
I know. Listen.
Why punish her?
Give me my lesbian back. It didn't work every, but I it was one of those shows that I watched all the time.
Like,
I loved
it. Of course, the example of a time it didn't work was when the lesbian went to the fucking macho, I'm sure, very, very heteronormative.
Yes. But I want to say even in that episode, like the dude ended up in the end was like, you know what, lesbians are okay.
No homo, a little homo.
A little
homo. He went from
homo.
No homo to maybe homo.
Homo for Jane.
A little bit.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. The dad was like a mean, abusive nightmare. So we meet Sherry Silver, who is a wife that he got matched with. And she sits down and she's like,
when I saw the flying saucer on the TV, I thought, I don't know why they were saying the kid was in the balloon, but I knew that he wasn't.
And how did you know that he wasn't?
I'm a psychic.
Well, because I'm a psychic. And I'm like, you don't need to be psychic to know. But.
This is misleading because it seems like Sheree is here to talk shit because we see clips from his episode. He's throwing things.
I mean,
being horrible to her.
Horrifying.
But that's not the case. She's here to defend him.
So Richard claims that he only did Wife Swap because they offered to pay us and we needed the money. He says it like they chased him down and begged him to be on the show. Girl, you still applied for it.
But the thing about it, like this is what, like the money thing really gets me in the heart because it's like he's got three kids. Like,
yeah.
And I'm thinking about the kids, not him. That's why he said, like, we couldn't afford cable. I was like, ugh. And, like, he needed the money so bad that he had to go on a reality show. Like, it really, like,
that. You didn't have to, though, because his whole, so let me just back up for a second.
Yeah.
It turns out they were on Wife Swap twice.
Uh-huh. So, well, because they were, like, a fan favorite or something.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was shocked. So the first ep is season 5, episode 1, if you want to watch it. And it's not the episode with Sheree, the psychic.
Oh.
They are described as storm chasers. They pull their kids out of school, like, very similar to that footage from earlier where you're like, the kids are like in grave danger.
Yeah.
So they're described as like the wild Heaney family where the kids are totally unruly. The wild Heaney kids are encouraged to live a life of fun, adventure, and excitement.
Oh, God.
So they're matched with a family who's like really strict and really rigid and also scared of everything.
Oh,
so it's
God.
Like this fearless, outrageous family matched with a family who's like literally scared of the microwave,
uh-huh.
scared of sushi.
Really?
So Richard is super mean and abusive to both his real wife and the wife he's swapped with.
Yeah.
The bottom line is you're lazy and you don't want to do a damn thing. And you suck!
Like, sexist, angry, loud. He's a child.
Yes.
And Mayumi does everything, his current wife. And
yes.
While he, and like, they show it on the show that, like, all he does is, quote, research all day, which is fuck around on the computer all day. So it's
I mean, we've seen this 1,000 times.
It's not like he can't work. It's that he's not working.
Yes.
And he's
very
like, I'm a genius. I'm doing my research for science. But it's like, you could be a barista during the day.
But that's what I'm saying. I'm not sad for him about the money. I'm sad for the kids.
Right. But like,
I was one of those kids.
He could have worked and he's choosing not to.
But that's what I'm saying. I get it. He's a monster. But when he talks about like needing money, like all I can think about is like the stuff that the kids don't have.
I understand, but it's not like there's other ways for him. He could just like get a fucking job.
No question. He's a monster, you know. Yeah. But the money stuff still makes
me sad. And the kids are, I gotta say, come for me, I guess. I really don't give a shit. But they are complete nightmares. They're climbing on everything. They're screaming. They're cursing.
Well, kids are like who their parents raised them to be.
They're burping and farting. The house is filthy. And all of this is like, are they adorable? And I'm like, whoa. Not my thing.
Yeah.
So the episode with the psychic is season 5, episode 18, because that was viewer's choice.
Yes.
So the viewers voted on who they wanted to see again. And they picked Richard.
Well, but of course, because he was like the most explosive. And like, they're not picking them because they're nice. They're picking them because they're fucking housewives.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
That just hit me like a ton of bricks.
Really?
I mean, yes, right? Like you kind of, I'm sure it's like you kind of have to see it to believe it.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So that's why I was so curious, like what you loved about the show, because—
Well, I know, I probably didn't make it that far. It was probably more wholesome, like in the beginning days where let's learn a lesson every time.
Right, like it could be where it's like, wow, their minds were open. But now it's like, let's get the storm chasers who don't want their kids to be like nice to people versus the people who are afraid of the microwave.
But that's why I'm so confused as to why Sherry is here, because when she says,
as I got to know Mr. Heaney on the show, I saw that he was a very caring person about his children, and I just couldn't imagine that he would purposely say that his son was in the balloon.
She knows how much he loves his kids and he would never put them in danger. And I'm like, Sherry, if he was awful to you, why are you here defending him?
And what about the time he drives them into tornadoes?
Right,
exactly. Is that
not
putting them in danger?
Exactly.
What am I missing?
Yeah,
here?
I just thought it was wild that like she was here to like defend him.
Right. Anyway, in an effort to prove how real this whole thing is, the family releases what I believe are obviously staged home movies.
Yes.
The ones we saw earlier. They think it's going to help them because at one point, remember, this is all in their backyard, like at magic hour.
Yeah.
Perfect. Lighting.
Yes, yes.
And so it's like a static camera. And at one point, like when the chaos is ensuing, Mayumi and Richard like meet their mark right in front of the camera and at the same time go, what? Perfectly in unison, almost in harmony? And I'm like, there's no way this is meant to help them. Also, just stop talking.
But that's what I'm saying.
Shut your mouth and go away.
And media training people, like, once again, this is a commercial for your business.
Tend to your traumatized child.
Yes.
Or not traumatized because he wasn't actually in it anyway. Like what does it matter?
Yeah. Well, because they released that footage out to like the news. And then now the news is running the footage. Like all anybody sees, Richard is saying they want the news to show I didn't know if he was in there or not. All anyone is seeing is him screaming at his wife and kicking that chair over.
You know, they had hundreds of publicists being like, let me help you.
Yes.
And Richard was like, no, I can do it.
Exactly.
Like throwing a tantrum.
Totally.
It's so obvious that Richard is the, for lack of a better term, mastermind behind this whole thing because it's a nightmare. It's an impulsive mess,
and
just like him.
Every single thing he does to make it better makes it worse.
I mean, just stop
it
talking.
Really is kind of unbelievable.
Just be quiet.
I mean, it's almost like you'd call it a train wreck.
Almost.
You know what I mean?
You know, I see what you did there.
Yeah.
So Saturday, it's only been 2 days.
I know.
It's only been 2 days. The cops call Richard down to the station.
I get a call stating that I could come down to the sheriff's office and pick up my flying saucer. So I went down. I was excited. Hey, I'm going to get my flying saucer. And then he says, before I give you your flying saucer, do you mind if I ask a few questions so we can clear things up? And he asked me if I wouldn't mind taking a polygraph.
While we have you, will you take this polygraph for us?
No, my favorite part about this is that it's a Saturday. The sheriff is in full Saturday drag, and the sheriff is here to tell us how proud he is of this whole move. Because he's like, I wanted to go down there and be like,
Richard. Oh, I thought you were going to say the American flag button-down shirt that he's wearing.
No, well,
in the video.
He's like in a track suit, and I'm going down there to be like, Richard, girl, like, you're here to pick up your flying saucer. Why don't you just, like, if you take a polygraph and you pass it, then you could go out there and throw it in everybody's face. You had absolutely nothing to do with this.
Yeah.
Now, Richard, who can only make bad decisions, 100% agrees.
Yeah. And the polygraph is insane because we see it.
Well, and this is what is also, oh my God. Like, I was making excuses for this because he's sitting down to take the polygraph, except he isn't. He's literally trying to make himself fall. The sheriff was like, he was trying to make himself fall asleep.
Oh, his falling asleep is...
Yeah.
Kind of tipping over.
He's trying to do what he read on the internet is how you, like, fake a polygraph test or
the
whatever.
The sheriff to us is like, he did every trick in the book. That's published and documented. Any one of you sitting at home can find these in a quick Google search.
And he looks ridiculous. And then, like, the test comes back inconclusive. And I was like, oh, my God.
Also, a poly for this is so stupid anyway.
100%. Right.
Like, it's just a ridiculous thing.
Yes.
But then the police speak to his wife, Mayomi, and they give her a polygraph. And this is when everything changes.
Okay, but this is where I say the documentary does not deliver.
Okay.
Because the documentary says to us, they say that she says things that we don't hear her say in this interview.
Okay, walk me through this. Because let me tell you two sentences I have written down.
Okay.
Because we see the footage of her at the police station having this conversation. And then we have her today describing it. And they're two completely different things.
Okay, we're going to get into all of this. Number one, the police are going to tell us that Mayomi, after 2 minutes, she breaks and she acknowledges that this whole thing was a hoax.
She's like exhausted, despondent.
But we never hear her say that. Like, what is happening is that they are giving her a bunch of leading questions.
Yeah.
And then she'll say yes or no to it. That is not the same as her saying, yes, we made this up. Yes, we told Falcon to do this. Yes, this was a hoax. And then now she's going to tell us that
back then my English was worse and the word hoax itself, I misunderstood.
This was all a hoax, okay?
She had a degree in English from Japan, went to 3 more years of college in the United States. There was not a language barrier.
We keep being told that Mayomi is saying, yes, this was a hoax. Yes, we made this up. We never hear her say that.
So they ask her, did you guys build this for the purpose of a hoax? And her response is, honestly, this is a quote, honestly, this experiment itself was not only for this.
What? That makes no sense.
Now, right. Fine. Fair enough.
Yeah.
But like, she does not say in the moment.
I'm not yelling at you. I'm yelling at
them. No, I hear you. But this is important, I think, because she does not say in the moment to the cop that she doesn't know the word hoax, because they're going to say that she doesn't know the word hoax. And she honestly, to me, looks kind of relieved to be telling the truth for once.
And wouldn't you be? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But we learn she has a degree in English from Japan. She went to 3 more years of college in the United States. And what they're getting at is that even if she doesn't know the word hoax, she could at the very least say that she didn't understand the word hoax. And I'm sorry, like, do you really think that these cops... Like, they're talking to a petite, despondent woman whose English is not her first language.
And who hasn't slept in 3 days.
Like, I just wonder if maybe they were, maybe they weren't. But, like, I think the family's been trying to get famous for years. And to me, Mayomi seems relieved.
I agree with that. They tell us that she says things that she didn't say because she agrees to things that the cops say, which is not the same thing. And I also feel like we have to remember this is a woman who's married to a tyrant.
For sure.
Who she is absolutely used to agreeing with all of the time.
Yes.
Now, I don't know Mayomi, but I can imagine that how she gets through difficult situations with men that she's intimidated by, she just says yes. She just agrees.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, because they ask her, like, did you tell the kids what you were doing? And she kind of whispers, we told them.
Yes. But like, what does that, like, we don't get any full statement from Mayomi. She never says, yes, this was a hoax. Yes, we made this up.
Right.
She's agreeing to a lot of things. She's giving half statements. Like, it just, to me, this is, we have to throw this away because it feels like they're taking advantage of this woman who's exhausted and sad and intimidated and maybe also doesn't have a great command of the language. Mm-hmm.
Sure. So, however... doesn't stop the cops from moving forward with criminal charges.
Yes.
Last night, police seized evidence from the Heaney home. And of the 4 charges the department hopes to file over the next few days, 2 are Class 4 felonies, which carry up to 6 years of jail time and $500,000 in fines.
penalties up to 6 years in jail each, $500,000 fines each. Like, there's a lot going on here.
So somebody approaches Richard with a number. He says, this woman says, this is an attorney. You should give him a call. His name is David Lane, and he is here. And I just have like, oh my God, finally somebody is helping them.
Stop. Okay. Yeah. Also, this is Sunday, 3 days after the launch. When I tell you this is happening like 1 minute after the next.
Yes.
When it said Sunday, 3 days after launch, I was like, oh shit, this is a nonstop
and nobody is sleeping. You know what I mean? And so David Lane is here and he says, look, the Sunday after the incident, the Heenies came into my office from Fort Collins. He says, it was obvious to me that they loved those kids with all their hearts and souls. Also that Mayumi's English is not good. David, the attorney, is saying, we were in my office explaining what the word hoax and fraud means. Whether that's true, whether it's not, that is what David says. Okay. And like, you know, these are the words that you just agreed to in a police interrogation.
That's totally fair enough. And I got to tell you, this guy, I Googled him because I was like, this guy's so full of shit. He seems pretty great. Like
he doesn't seem full of shit to me at all.
But like, he's very vocal against the death penalty. Yeah. Like he's like a civil rights litigator. And I was like, so dude, why are you here? Because this whole, like, he's gonna double and quadruple down on the language barrier.
Yeah.
She was on two episodes of Wife Swap before this happened. We have hours of Mayumi speaking English incredibly well.
But then why, if she wants to confess, why isn't she confessing? Why is she giving one-word answers, half sentences, and agreeing to statements made by the cops?
I think she is terrified of her husband.
Yes,
all I'm saying is that—
No, I agree with you.
I think her English is excellent. I don't want to hear anything about the language barrier. She's able to make jokes. She's doing full-on bits. She's pretending she's a psychic on Wife Swap to be like, ooh, remember like your wife? Like, she's in on all the jokes.
Yeah.
She's having screaming matches. She's quick.
Yeah.
She does not seem like she's not under in the episodes of Wife Swap. So it's hard for me to see her speaking English incredibly well to now sort of having her speak it not as well as she used to.
Yeah.
Prior.
I can hear all of that, but I just, in her interview, she doesn't talk. You know what I mean? Like, she's just agreeing to things and she's giving like one word answers in like half sentences. And it's just not a confession to me.
Yeah.
Legally it is. I mean, like, if the cops write something out and she signs it, it's a confession. You know what I mean?
Been there, right?
But it's just like, they talk about it as though like she offered all of this information, which is not true. She's agreeing to things.
Yeah. I think she's exhausted.
Yes.
And not just from these last 3 days. I think it's been a rough many years.
Yes.
Again, I don't mean to assign her things. I mean, can you imagine living with this guy?
No, absolutely not.
And having it all be filmed and used to try to get famous and like it's his way or the highway. It's the Richard show. Like, that's exhausting.
Yes.
And like, they're saying that on top of this like language barrier argument, which I don't agree with, that they're saying that the local cops are corrupt and they're comparing it to this other case of withholding evidence. And I'm like, girl, sure.
Yeah.
Cops are corrupt. 2 + 2 = 4. The sky is blue. However, I find that all, while true, unrelated to what we're talking about here today.
Yeah.
I'm not going to take police corruption away from anybody, God knows.
No, and you know, Richard is saying, now this is where I'm just kind of like, Richard is doubling down. I am not admitting to these charges. No fucking way. Yeah. I am absolutely not doing this. And this is where we learn. Now, the cops deny this. Both the prosecutor's office and the sheriff's office deny this. But we are being told that Richard and his family are being told.
They said, Richard, we want you to take a felony conviction. We want you to agree to 30 days in jail. If you do that, Mayumi can plead to a misdemeanor that will not cause her to be deported back to Japan.
Well, you could get deported or you could not if you talk. And that's what, this is a tactic that is used full stop, no question.
And of course it wasn't written down anywhere. Of course they didn't write it down and give it to him to keep for his record.
Right.
Of course they're going to deny it.
You know, like, fine.
Yeah.
So this never goes anywhere. But again, corruption is very, very real. I just don't know how related
it goes. It goes somewhere in the GP column because like Richard is like, no, I will never admit to this. And finally David is like, but you got to think about your wife because she'll be taken away from your kids, and then cut to court, and David fully admits to it.
Because then he also gets to be a martyr, so he gets to like cause all the drama and then also save the day, whatever.
But he's admitting to it, he says, only so that his wife won't be deported, which the sheriff is like, we never threatened that in the first place.
Right.
You know?
Is there a world? I would believe either side of it at this point.
Yes.
You know what
I
mean? Because that happens all the time. I don't want you to think that I'm saying it never happens. It happens constantly.
Of course.
Especially in this day
and
age.
You know what? At this point, they've got you. Because
they've got you.
If they lose, lose this case, and Miami literally gets deported to Japan and taken away. Like, can we all stop using the fucking children? The kids are such victims in this. The kids really are victims in this.
Yeah, they did not ask to be part of this,
no.
Like, insane family.
Yes. Ultimately, Richard pleads guilty. He gets a 30-day sentence.
And she gets 20 days community service.
Exactly.
It's nothing.
It's nothing.
Now their lawyer is crying. He's like, I'm sorry, I'm a crier. this just really brings me, it's just so unfair. And well, I'm like, oh, the 20-day community service. Like, give me
I
up
know,
a break.
But if they didn't do it, it is unfair.
Well, lucky me, we don't have to live in that world because they fucking did it.
All right.
So now everyone does their time, and a month later...
After this whole incident, we came to Florida and started a new life. We found this place, and this place feels like a fortress. It's a place where we can hide and just forget about what happened.
They pick up and move to Florida.
I know.
And I think they're like doomsday preppers now. They're super off the grid.
They moved to the middle of the woods, Florida, we should point out.
Like middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
And then in 2020, the governor of Colorado gives them both a pardon saying, quote, I think it's all time for us to move on. Fucking idiot. So then it just like ends, I guess. And they're still like inventing. They force their kids to be in a heavy metal band called the Heaney Boys.
Ridiculous.
With a Z. Ridiculous.
Yes. Oh my God, girl, we did balloon, what's it called?
Trainwreck Balloon Boy.
Okay.
I maintain it was all fake. I don't know. I'm sure you will tell me, dear listener, if I was wrong about it or if I'm totally off base. But I really, I couldn't wait. I was waiting for them.
All I want is a strong perspective. I don't care what it is.
I was waiting for them to be like taking the mask off and being like, nah. Nope, never happened.
Girl, this isn't how we usually end an episode.
Yeah, well, something happened. We did a goog.
We googed.
So, because I was like, we wanted to see something about where they are now, if they're still like doomsday preppers.
Yeah.
So that guy who called it the Jiffy Pop thing.
The guy who wrote for that news outlet I'd never heard of.
Yeah. So Robert Sanchez, that journalist who was always pretty skeptical the whole time and he, whatever. There's an article from 2019 that he wrote that was updated in 2024, but he has all of this proof that the wife lied and like admitted that it was all fake.
I'm so confused by this because the documentary came out after this article was published, significantly after. Let's just tell them like the major revelation in the article, and then we can talk about why this wasn't included in the documentary.
So the author was given access to all of these discovery files from the case, and their handwritten notes from Mayumi explaining the entire thing.
And he was given access to these files with Mayumi's blessing. So he said, I've been in touch with your lawyer. He says he will give me all the documents related to your case if you allow it. Mayumi says yes. There is a series of handwritten notes by Mayumi in which she outlines the plan to fake Falcon being taken away in the balloon.
Because like before, in 2008, they filmed their wife swap episodes, right? And so like, because it says that she admitted that the balloon was a setup. She explained that she and her husband wanted attention for a, quote, science-based reality show they'd pitched with producers who filmed the 2008 appearances on Wife Swap.
And just to be clear, she's writing this just for the eyes of her attorney only. She's like telling him, but then all these years later said that this journalist could have this.
And then, but she said, like, in the Wife Swap producer conversations, a runaway balloon with a kid inside could be television catnip.
Yes.
So then in April 2009, right before this, the family signed an option with the Wife Swap producers to pitch a series about outrageous homemade science experiments and the equally outrageous family, them, that created them. And a balloon made in the shape of a flying saucer was one of the ideas.
Now, to be very clear, the plan was never for Falcon to actually be in the balloon. The plan was for the family to think that Falcon was in the balloon, but he was going to go hide in the basement. And what went wrong on the day of the launch was Falcon went and hid somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And so the family actually believed that Falcon was actually in the balloon. So their feelings of like, oh my God, we were going to fake this thing, hide him in the basement, but he fucked it up and actually got into the balloon because he's not in the hiding place we told him to go and he's not coming out while we're screaming his name, is apparently real.
So, because the plan was like, the local paper would pick it up and then producers will go crazy for it.
Yes.
And then, as we kind of said, like, it definitely all got away from them.
Right.
But where it got away from them was apparently that he didn't hide in the correct hiding spot.
And then, but also heard them screaming for him and didn't come out?
I'm sorry. I don't even believe that part.
Well,
because when they say, when this journalist confronted Richard, the husband, because he's like, I didn't know anything. We didn't know anything. And then this journalist is like, girl, I have your wife's handwritten notes
to
in
her
Discovery.
Attorney. Yes.
And it says Richard reacted angrily towards his wife, during which his wife then admitted she was lying the whole time.
Well, what happens is the journalist calls Richard and says, I have this evidence. And Richard says, will you send it to me? And the journalist sends it to him. He sends him all the handwritten notes. And Richard's like, I'll call you tomorrow. Richard does not call. He calls the next day back with a new story. So now they're claiming that Mayumi wrote all of those notes to her lawyer to give cover so she wouldn't be deported.
It doesn't make any sense.
Right. Like, Mayumi is basically saying, this was the story that we agreed to admit to so that we could take the plea and I wouldn't get deported and I could stay with my kids. Now Richard is on the phone screaming at his wife, but, like, the reporter's like, this is all an act.
And doesn't that tell you about the dynamic, about him screaming at her?
Yes.
Doesn't the police footage make sense now?
Even that was fake. In the end of the news article, the reporter is like, basically, they got caught because Mayumi forgot she wrote these notes to her attorney. She let me read them, and then Richard and Mayumi had to concoct this new story that she only wrote it to the attorney so she could, like, get a plea and stay in the country. So, like, he got them. But my question, beyond all of that, why is none of this in the documentary? He's in the documentary. Yeah. Why isn't this in the documentary?
I don't know. I think it's ridiculous that it's not. I think it's wrong that it's not.
Yeah.
It's like another issue I have with another fucking Netflix documentary leaving information out.
Because my thing is, like, when you and I were first talking today and you're like, it's definitely a hoax. And I was like, no, it definitely is. I was so shocked that we were on the same page.
Mike was like, what happened? I was like, Patrick just sent me this text. I was like, I think he's fucking with me.
No.
I couldn't believe.
And, like, I thought it was unambiguous that it was not a hoax in the end. But
and my text to you, I was like, wait, I thought it was so obviously a hoax. And,
and
like, they were just showing us how clearly a hoax it was. And they could have shown us more clearly if they added
this. They could have given us the definitive, this was a hoax.
But
now, the only thing maybe is that journalistically, he couldn't share this with Netflix, but he wrote about it. He could tell us about it.
Yeah, it's weird. It's very weird. But I also think it's really shitty that this Richard guy, his default is like, oh, I'll just scream at you.
If
he's using screaming at his wife on camera, what is he doing behind the scenes? I'm not assuming but I'm just like, he's an aggressive, angry guy.
Yeah.
This woman is being yelled at constantly, whether she's right or wrong, apparently.
Which is why I think she's capitulating to the cops, but I guess they did it, so fuck me.
They did it, man.
Yeah.
They did it.
All right, fam. Thanks for hanging out with us. We're not going to do a big outro today because it's going to be long enough.
This
we love
so
you.
This is so long.
Get
these episodes,
here.
I hope you're loving them. They are getting longer and longer.
I know,
love it.
I know.
We have a lot to say.
Did you have fun today?
I had fun today.
Oh,
did you have fun today?
I had so much fun. This is so wild.
Okay, good. Oh, but you want to know what we're doing next?
Oh, yeah. What are we doing?
We're doing Untold, The Fall of Brett Favre.
Oh, is it sports?
Yeah, and this fucking chump.
Oh, my God.
This guy sucks.
I love it when we do a sports.
This guy sucks.
All right, bye, Favre.
Okay, bye, Favre.
Bye. Have a great day, everybody, but Brett Favre.
Everyone but Brett Favre. And fucking Richard.
And Richard's
Richard
having a terrible
That's
day,
your
Richard.
Real name.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Everybody wish they could be an NFL quarterback. You get all the notoriety. You know, you get paid all the money.
Brett Favre was a cult-like, iconic figure.
People say he was a football god.
There are a lot of reasons why you might question Brett Favre's inner goodness.
Allegations that he sent lewd texts and photos to a New York Jet employee.
Brett Favre ultimately destroyed my life.
In the life of Brett Favre, not everything is what it seems.
He starts to go through life thinking, I can do whatever I want. At what level does that stop?
I was at a game and someone said Brett Favre wanted my phone number. And I just kept saying no. I started getting text messages. And then I started getting voicemails when I was like, oh, I'm in serious trouble here.
Martha, I had to come over tonight.
Maybe we shouldn't be surprised that he got caught up in a federal welfare misappropriation scandal.
You take money intended for the poorest. I don't know how he sleeps at night.
People don't want most of that stuff to come out. People want their heroes.
When someone shows you who they are, believe them.